She again regarded me with a surprised stare.
"I believe," she said, "I was quite mistaken in my thoughts of you. But there are so many cheats goes about, you mun forgive me."
"And though," I continued rather severely, "you wished to turn me from the door on a night when you should not have shut out a dog."
"Well, it was hard, but what can a body do? I thought more at children or on myself. Poor things, they've like nobody to take care on them but me. I'm like to look sharpish."
I maintained a grave silence for some minutes.
"You mustn't think too hardly of me," she again remarked.
"But I do think hardly of you," I said, "and I'll tell you why. Not so much because you refused to give me shelter, or regarded me as an impostor, as because you just now made it a species of reproach that I had no brass and no house. Some of the best people that ever lived have been as destitute as I am, and if you are a Christian, you ought not to consider poverty a crime."
"No more I ought," said she. "Mr. St. John tells me so, too, and I see I were wrong, but I've clear a different notion on you now to what I had. You look a right down decent little creature."
"That will do. I forgive you now. Shake hands." She put her flowery and horny hand into mine. Another and heartier smile illumined her rough face, and from that moment we were friends.